Thank you, and a very pleasant good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Gary Colley, evangelist of the Get Well Church of Christ here in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's a pleasure each Lord's Day morning to meet you by means of this radio broadcast. This is the Truth in Love broadcast, and we want you to know that we have only one desire in mind, and that is to teach the truth of the gospel in order that men may be saved from their sins and eternally be able to live in heaven. If you're on your way to heaven, then we know that you will be interested in our study today. In heaven, of course, the righteous will be. No unrighteous man will be there. No. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven?" And then he talks about the different sins that men enter into, which cause them to lose their soul. Those things, my friends, we don't want to participate in. We do not want to be among those who are living so that God cannot bless us eternally. In Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3, he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and upon his law doth he meditate day and night." Well, that's really what we need to do, isn't it? Meditate upon those things that are good and pure and upright in the sight of God, and one day be able to enjoy the blessings of heaven with him. In 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul told Timothy, the young preacher, "Take heed unto thyself and unto thy teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." The power, of course, of God is the gospel, the power to move men. And that, by the way, in Romans 1:16, where Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power," that means it is the dynamite of God. In other words, it's able to melt the human heart and make it that which ought to be insofar as eternity is concerned. In Matthew 28:18-20, you recall that Jesus said, "After his death, burial, and resurrection, all authority have been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've taught you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world." We are privileged then to have the Bible. We're privileged to have the Word of God, and we should receive it not as it is the Word of man, but as it is in truth the Word of God. So, if you're looking for the truth, that's where you find it. Jesus said to those Jews that believed upon him in John 8:31-32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He said, if you be my disciples, that truth's what's going to make it possible for you. Without faith, which comes by hearing the word of God, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. "But he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him." You know, when we talk about these things, we realize the gospel is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In fact, the first two verses of the Hebrew letter in the New Testament state the whole policy of divine revelation. Listen to it closely. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed the heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds." You know, this one who was the agent of the creation of the universe and of man became the heir of all things in God's revelation to man. He became the culmination, the fulfillment of the scheme of divine revelation. And this chain of revelation, from the voice of God in the Garden of Eden to the voice of the blood of Christ on the cross, follows a divine pattern, does it not? From its first forms of communication to the completion of the divine purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 through 11, he says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? And even so the things of God knoweth no man, save the Spirit of God." Now he said, we've not received the spirit of the world, but we've received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things freely given us of God, which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual words. So this chain of revelation, from the voice of God in the Garden of Eden to the voice of the blood of Christ on the cross, follows a divine pattern from its first forms of communication to the completion of the divine purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. Primitive revelation was oral. It was spoken. And when God addressed the patriarchs, he addressed the fathers of every family. And that's what patriarch means. Pater is father, and patriarch means father rule. So it was in direct verbal communication with which God spoke to them. And then revelation took the form of theophany, and the manifestation of God in symbols and types and visions, inclusive of the long series of representations of God in the early ages. So Hebrews 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but he hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. You know, after this revelation assumed the authentic character in the formation of the Hebrew race, the existence of which it was but an early form of divine revelation, from which developed the natural feature of revelation in the establishment and the organization of the nation of Israel, the whole history of which was a phase of divine revelation. Finally, revelation reached its documentary culmination and was committed to the records of the Old and the New Testaments. Well, the Old Testament is that which brings forth the Ten Commandments, and the new one is not at Mount Sinai where we get the New Testament, but it is rather in the Mount of Transfiguration, in the Mount whereby we can be known and will know what the will of God is. Well, this gradual course and progressive policy of revelation is the meaning of Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken unto us through his Son, whom he gave to be the heir over all things, and through whom he made the worlds. Let's analyze that passage just a little bit. God spoke in times past, that is the old dispensations, unto the fathers, that is those from Adam to Moses, by the prophets, who were the agents, of course, of ancient revelation, in sundry times, means in various parts or portions of time, and in divers manners, employing many methods of communication. But in these last days, the gospel dispensation, God has spoken unto us by his Son, and that is, of course, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, whom he appointed the heir of all things, that is, the heir of all things spoken by the prophets, and the various parts and portions were gathered into one, and many methods merged into the completed revelation. And the Bible thus becomes the longest thread of thought ever woven in the loom of time. It is that which brings to us the mind of God, the way of God, the redemption of God, and it is that which we are to always see in completion, and it's in its revelation. Well, here we find the symbolic and typical system of the old dispensation. It had its altars, its visions, its apocalypse, and it pointed to the fulfillment in Christ and the church of our Lord. And the bloodstream, of course, of the Old Testament began its flow from Abel's altar, and it did not cease until it was mingled with the crimson flow of the blood of Christ from the cross of Calvary. You know, there are multiple passages in the New Testament gathered around the fact that the types and the symbols of prophecies all pointed to Christ and thus were fulfilled. We read in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 that this is why that declares that God appointed him to be the heir over all things spoken by the prophets. And it's why Paul said in Ephesians 1, beginning verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, God might gather together in one to all things in Christ, for which are all in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise and unto his glory. Well, that makes us very desirous of seeing more of this, doesn't it? And in Ephesians 1:10-11, Paul is stating that in this dispensation God has gathered together in one all things in Christ, and that is why Romans 8, verse 27 through 29, is of great importance to us also. The apostle shows that all things are of God's plan of work together, and they do for our good and for our redemption. He says there, "And he searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for them, according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his Son, that he might be the firstfruits, or the firstborn, among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Well, in these things we find what the all things are in Romans 8:28. We know that all things concerning redemption. Well, that's what the whole chapter is about, is redemption. No, it's not talking about the providence of God, as some suggest. But it's talking about all those things that God has made for our redemption. And in verse 1 and 2, he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." We do not want to pull passages out of their context and misrepresent the truth of the gospel. There are many passages that teach the providence of God, but this passage does not. This passage, the entire 8th chapter of Romans, is talking about the redemption that is in Christ. So all the things that God planned for our salvation, they work together for our good, and we're called according to his purpose. So the apostle shows here that in all things of God's plan, they work together for our good, for our redemption, of all men who are called according to his purpose in the redemptive plan. And that's why, my friends, in 2 Peter 1:19, the Bible teaches us on this wise. It says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." That's what Peter says. "And we have also a more sure word of prophecy." Did you hear that? "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation or origin, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So, these things that work together for our good is why Peter said in 2 Peter 1:19 that Christ was proclaimed the day star of all prophecy. And that is why Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament in chapter 4, when seeking a figure of speech to adequately portray the grandeur of the one who would come, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, selected the flaming orb of the day, that is the sun, and declared that the coming of Christ should be the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Now, of course, the wings represent quickly and fast that he would bring healing to man in the redemption that was in Christ. Well, you see, when the sun of the solar system is to the universe what Jesus Christ is to the Son of Righteousness, then would that not be the world of humanity and sin, which has been in darkness, needs the light, and has the light in the Son of Righteousness? So in fulfillment of the prophecies, Jesus came. The Son of Righteousness had arisen, and it cast the beams of splendor across the crest of Calvary, glimmering and glistening in the blood of the crucified Son of God, who thus became the heir of all things spoken by the prophets. He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Luke 24, verse 44-45. So when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the cross, and Jesus Christ, the heir of all things, spoken in the prophets, became the Savior of the world. Though he were a son, says Hebrews 5:8-9, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that will obey him. So we learn that he is the Savior and the only hope that man has in the world. In Acts 4:12, Peter said, in none other is there salvation, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. We also know that they took him down off of the cross because he was dead and because of the reason given in Acts 13:26-37. Men and brethren, we find children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired that Pilate should slay him. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up to him or with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, and who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the prophets are the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid in it with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Jesus then was raised never to die again. He did not see corruption. Indeed, he went to paradise of Hades, just like all of us will go there, just like the rich man and Lazarus went there in Luke 16. And after the judgment and after the resurrection, then we shall either enter into the blessings of heaven or the horrors of hell. But Jesus Christ is the heir of all things spoken by the prophets. And again he says in Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but he hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son, whom he gave to be the heir over all things, and through whom he made the worlds. This is Jesus the Christ, who said in Matthew 16:18, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee, the apostles, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, loosed upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so it was that Jesus went to the cross in order to purchase that church. In Acts 20:28, Paul said, Take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock, over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Now that's to the elders at Ephesus. He said, After my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Well, what a sad thing it is to know that there are those who will try to lead us away from what the Bible teaches. Hebrews 13:8-9 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, be not carried away by divers and strange doctrines. All right, if God has given us the truth, and he has, and Jesus said, Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and he did, then what is it, my friends, for us to turn away from that which is able to help us go to heaven? We don't want to be lost. We don't want to have to suffer in hell for those things which we have done amiss in the world that are called sin. And in times of ignorance, he said, you know, God overlooked. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to come to repentance, seeing that he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he is given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. What is God's scheme of redemption? What is that plan by which we can be saved? Is it faith only? Is it prayer? Or is it obedience? Well, we learn from the Bible, 1 Peter 1:22, he said, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And all flesh, he said, is as the grass, and the flower of the grass, it shall wither, it shall fall, but the word of the Lord shall endure forever. In John 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, he wanted to know about the kingdom. That is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the church of Christ. He wanted to know about it. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest, except God be with him. Now he said, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And that, of course, caused Nicodemus to wonder about a baby being born, because that's what he knew under the Jewish economy. Children were born into Judaism. But then later they had to be told why they were born into that. But that's not true with the gospel of Christ. All shall know me, Jesus said, from the least of them unto the greatest. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, said God. They shall know me from the least of them unto the greatest. So they knew what made them Christians. They knew how they entered the church. They had to hear the gospel, because the gospel is God's power to save. Could not be possible that we would know what the will of God was without his mind being declared to us. But the Spirit declares all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we're dependent upon reading the word of God to know the will of God. And that's what Romans 10:17 means when it says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But not only must we hear, we must also believe it with all of our heart. We're not allowed to just believe half-heartedly that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have to believe it with all of our heart. We have to repent of our sins. That means to turn from sin. That means to change our will about sin, no longer to want to live in that way, but to live a righteous life before God and before our Savior and Lord. And not only must we hear and believe and repent, we have to confess our faith in Christ. If you do not have enough faith to confess him, he will not confess you before the Father in heaven at the close of time. In Matthew 10, he says in verse 28-29, marvel not at this, for all that shall hear his voice and do his will, if they want to be saved. He says, with the obedience of confession, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Confession is necessary. Romans 10:9-10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so it is, my friends, that we must hear the gospel, believe it with all of our heart, repent of our sins, confess the name of Christ before men with our mouth, but then that's not complete until we go into the waters of baptism in the likeness of his death and burial and resurrection. Romans 6:3-4 says, are ye ignorant, brethren, that as many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised through the glory of the Father, even so we should be raised to walk in newness of life. We indeed want to walk in that newness of life, don't we? The newness of life is in Christ. And if we hear his word, walk in that, we're raised as new creatures to live in him as he is directed. And that, my friends, is a safe way to live. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's John 14:6. If you would be in him, then you can have the blessings that he promises. But out of him, you do not have those spiritual blessings, nor do you have the hope of eternity with him when this life is over. Ephesians 1:3, Paul exclaimed, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So, my friends, isn't it wonderful to have the revelation of God? Isn't it wonderful to know that God has declared all of these things to us so that we might know what the future holds? God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken unto us through his Son, whom he gave to be the heir over all things, and through whom he made the worlds. I wonder about your faith. Is it in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it in the God of heaven? If it is, then you must walk in harmony with his will. And Jesus said, you know, "Go into all the world now and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." Those words have not changed since the first century, and you know what? They will not be changed today. No, we cannot turn from the Word of God and still expect to be pleasing in the sight of God. But when we hear his word and we act in harmony with it, then we have the hope and the blessings that come as a result of it. It's so good to be with you today. Will you not be with us in our services at the Get Well Church of Christ today? Our Bible study begins at 9:30 this morning. We would love to have you come and be with us. And then, of course, at 10:20, our regular worship service. And again this afternoon at 5 p.m., preceded by singing at 4:30. You would enjoy all of these services if you're interested in the Bible, if you're interested in knowing what the will of the Lord is, if you would like to see Christianity in action and the worship of God as God has directed, come and be with us. Each Wednesday evening, we again meet together in order to serve the God of our creation and to uphold the counsel of his will. We're hopeful that you will want to come and be with us for those classes. And indeed, we have classes for all ages at the Get Well Church of Christ. We're located at 1511 Get Well Road at Get Well and Done. You will be easily able to find us, and certainly we're looking forward to having you with us. But until we meet you then, or by means of this radio broadcast next Lord's Day, it's necessary now that we bid you a very pleasant and profitable Good Lord's Day.